Hello, fight fans, and welcome to Corner Advice. I'm your host, Tom Zaffino, breaking down UFC 291, Gaethje versus Poirier. We have 12 fights scheduled for this card, although one is in jeopardy as I record this. The Michelle Pajeda fight against Wonderboy is potentially in jeopardy. Pajeda came in 3 pounds over. The medical staff told him not to continue to cut weight, so that's generally not a good sign. There's a potential that fight gets canceled and we're down to 11. But if that fight does go on, I like Stephen Thompson even more than I had originally. So, 12-fight card, lock at 6:30, potentially 11-fight card. We'll see how it goes. Also, we had Vinicius Salvador miss weight by a similar margin. I do believe that fight is still on. The weigh-ins are kind of wrapping up as I record this. But I do believe that fight is still on. So, worst case scenario, right now, we're looking at 11 fights. Hopefully, we get all 12. And again, lock is at 6:30 Eastern. And it should be a fun one. We have the BMF title on the line, which is, this is the second time we've seen that belt in existence. Not really, a real belt, but still fun. To me, it's kind of like the Intercontinental Championship in wrestling, which I was always a fan of, so I'm cool with it. It's a 5-round fight, Gaethje and Poirier, two badass dudes. So looking forward to it, belt or no belt. Should be a good one, should be a fun card, and let's jump right into it. Our first fight of the night is in the female flyweight division. We have Miranda Maverick taking on Priscilla Cachoeira. I'm normally a Cachoeira backer. I've almost bet her in every one of her fights. She has knockout potential. She's extremely dangerous, extremely gritty. But the problem with her is she does not do well with grapplers. While Miranda Maverick isn't an absolute killer grappler, I do think she has a pretty big advantage there. And I think Maverick gets the job done here. I would expect her to shoot for takedowns early and often. Now, if Cachoeira can survive and not get submitted, she can definitely be a problem, especially as this fight goes on. She's always been extremely dangerous from the first round to the third round. But I do think Maverick has a pretty clear path here. Her grappling offensively is pretty solid. Defensively, she can be wrestled herself, but Cachoeira is not going to likely be doing that. She's going to be looking for the knockouts. And despite the fact that she is extremely dangerous, and I do like betting her as a dog most of the time, I think she's just a little bit too wild and she makes the takedowns a little bit too easy. And when Maverick does get control, she is very good on the ground, very effective. So I think Maverick gets the job done here. I would not feel comfortable putting her in a parlay, and I would obviously not feel comfortable betting her money line, but potential inside the distance and maybe even better by submission. I feel like that's a very, very live prop. So I like Miranda Maverick to win. She has been up and down a little bit. She let us down in her last fight as a pretty big dog or a pretty big favorite. So not one to just get overly excited about. But I do think she gets the job done here. And I think if you're betting her, I would go inside the distance at a minimum and potentially go sub. And those are the best paths, I would think. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Matthew Semelsberger taking on Uros Medic. I absolutely love Semelsberger here. I know Medic is dangerous with the striking, and that can be an issue early in this fight. But Semelsberger has always shown to be durable and not a guy that I worry too much about getting knocked out. And I think as this fight goes long, he should definitely mix in the grappling, the wrestling. I think he'll have the cardio advantage. He's the bigger guy. Medic is coming up from 155. So we'll see how he looks in the cage. But I do think Semelsberger is the bigger, thicker guy. He has the better wrestling. All around, really well-rounded game. Just fought a really, really good fight against Jeremiah Wells, who's extremely dangerous, big-time power, big-time wrestler. Hurt Jeremiah Wells many times in that fight. Wells was just a superior wrestler and was able to get position on him and do damage on the ground. Medich doesn't have that option. I think Semmelsberger's power can hurt Medich on the feet, but mostly the wrestling is the path here. You're at elevation, a guy that doesn't appear to have great takedown defense, a guy that's probably not going to be as strong. Semmelsberger should dominate this fight. I feel really good about Semmelsberger in this spot. I'm looking to bet him inside the distance, which right now is at plus 100. I'm also looking to bet him round two, which I saw at plus 450, so I'll probably be jumping on those after I record this, and then maybe a sprinkle on the third round finish. I do think Semmelsberger finishes. I think he's a solid parlay piece if you are looking to parlay. I'm mostly betting straight wagers or, you know, round props with my bets, but I think Semmelsberger is a fine play if you want to put him in a parlay. I honestly think he dominates this fight. Our next fight is in the flyweight division. This was going to be my first dog on the card. We have CJ Vergara taking on Vinicius Salvador. Vergara, really good in scrambles. He's very hittable, which is why I initially was on Salvador. I think Salvador is extremely dangerous early on in the fight. But Vergara is a very gritty fighter. We've seen him in bad spots, and he finds a way to survive. Not the way you want to live in the UFC. You don't want to be known for surviving. But now, Vinicius Salvador has missed weight by 3 pounds. He looked pretty bad on the scale. And really, I mean, I did like him as an underdog. I thought he was solid value. But this is at elevation, a very high elevation. And cardio is going to be an issue. If he had a tough weight cut, which clearly he did, I don't see him having very good cardio after the first round. Even if he has cardio through the first round, so really this fight for me, Vergara, don't get hit early, survive whatever storm comes his way, and then I feel like he's going to be able to push a pace late, and he should get the job done here. He's not a huge favorite, so solid money line play. Again, I think there is potential for a late finish, especially if Vinicius is gassing out. But Salvador will have probably some good size. Well, he definitely will have some size on Vergara. So Vergara is definitely going to have to mind his P's and Q's, be safe in this fight. But I think overall, push the pace late, he gets the job done. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Jake Matthews taking on Darius Flowers. Honestly, you know, Matthews is a pretty sizable favorite here. I don't like Jake Matthews. I'm not a big fan of betting him anymore. He's let me down in many occasions. He's talented. He's not well-rounded. His striking's solid. He's got good boxing. His grappling's good. But, man, he's hittable. He hasn't always been knocked out, but he's been hurt. We saw him get hurt a lot against Semmelsberger, which, again, you know, Semmelsberger has big power, and there's not necessarily shame in that. But it's tough to back Jake Matthews at his price. I do like him here to win just because Flowers is taking this fight on extremely short notice. They are at elevation. So, again, Matthews has to stay safe within the first minute, or the first round and a half maybe. But really, he should look to grapple as much as he can, try to wear on the gas tank of Flowers. Flowers can wrestle. He is strong. He is explosive. But he did pop for Osterine about a little less than a year ago. So he did serve a suspension with USADA. So we'll see how that all plays out. I tried to look into the details. I don't know if they gave him like a smaller sentence or whatever, or punishment, but it did look like he served 6 months, and, you know, who knows? Was that giving him an advantage on the regional scene? Not a great thing. Making your debut after a suspension and you're on short notice at elevation. I feel like Jake Matthews should win. I would probably go inside the distance again just to get a better price if you want to bet him. I think Flowers, I mean, he's an explosive guy. He's a finisher. I can't imagine him going three rounds in this situation. Matthews has dragged fights out longer than he probably should have in the past, but I feel like he could have a pretty good advantage in this one. Again, not a huge Matthews fan. I do think he wins in this spot. I would not be too heavily invested in him, though. Our next fight is in the middleweight division. We have Roman Kopylov taking on Claudio Ribeiro. I like Kopylov here. Striking, very, very good. Takedown defense is solid. He's composed. He looks sharp. He's a very sharp striker, very dangerous. Seems to be kind of coming into form in the last couple fights. His first two fights in the UFC did not go great, but he has looked a lot more comfortable, a lot better in his last two fights, and he looks like an absolute killer when he starts rolling. So, taking on Ribeiro here, who, you know, another explosive guy, extremely dangerous early. That's obviously going to be the fear. Again, Kopylov, not a guy that is really at risk to get knocked out. I mean, anybody can, but historically, he's not a guy that gets knocked out. And he is the more technical striker. So Ribeiro, dangerous for sure. If he gets top control, he's extremely dangerous. I'm not sold on his cardio. I'm not sold on his overall game. And again, an explosive guy, high elevation against a very technical, well-rounded fighter with solid takedown defense. I feel really good about Kopylov in this fight. Obviously, the biggest risk would be him getting caught early. I don't think anything after the first round is going to be too dangerous. But, you know, it's MMA. Anything can happen. But skill for skill, Roman Kopylov should win this fight. Inside the distance, possibly. But I like him to win. I feel solid. I put him in a parlay. And, yeah, I like Kopylov. I think he's a better fighter, and I think he gets the job done here. We move on to the heavyweight division. We have Marcos Rogério de Lima taking on Derek Lewis, the Black Beast. I love Lewis here as the underdog. I don't think there's ever been a Derek Lewis fight where he was the underdog that I didn't bet him. De Lima is another guy with no cardio. Now, you could argue, well, Derek Lewis doesn't have cardio either, but Derek Lewis, dead tired, has knocked guys out many times. So, Derek Lewis looked amazing on the scale. You could actually see abs, which is an insane thought. So, I'm assuming he's in very good shape. De Lima, dangerous early. Leg kicks are a problem. He can grapple, but his cardio is not great. Derek Lewis has been grappled in the past, and once he gets up, he's extremely dangerous. I think Derek Lewis gets the job done here. I think he wins by knockout. I bet him by knockout already. I think I want to say plus 245. I don't have it in front of me, but Derek Lewis wins by knockout. Very hard to see this fight going all three rounds. It could happen, but I do like Derek Lewis, so he is a sizable dog if you just wanted to bet him straight up, you know, just in case there's that outside chance. It does go to decision. You know, go for it. I don't hate that at all, but I do like Derek Lewis. I think he wins by knockout, and I honestly think he could win pretty quickly. Our next fight is in the welterweight division. We have Trevin Giles taking on Gabriel Bonfim. This is kind of a litmus test for what Bonfim really is. He's looked amazing. He's explosive. My one problem with him is he does tend to keep his chin up. That has never affected it. That's never been a problem in the past. He has not lost. He's obviously never been knocked out. But as he climbs the ranks in the UFC, some of these guys can find that chin. Is Trevin Giles that guy? Old Trevin Giles, maybe, but not the guy we've seen the last 4 or 5 years. Power hasn't exactly been there. He's been very hot and cold in fights. He has a win over Roman Dolidze, which is, I still can't believe he won that fight, but that was back before Dolidze really seemed like he was taking it serious. It was a terrible grappling fight. It was, you know, not a lot of action, and Giles was able to win that fight. I think if they fought again, I think Dolidze would absolutely smoke him. But that is a big win on his record, and that's kind of the Trevin Giles, you know, you see wins and you're like, oh, wow, he beat that guy. But, so, you know, you see other fights where, you know, he should have lost to James Krause. James Krause came in 24-hour notice, easily should have won that decision. And, you know, there was controversy with that one. One of the judges was one of his old training partners. So that's not, you know, that's never good. That should never happen. And then I thought he lost his last fight against Preston Parsons. He fought well enough, but it was in Texas, his home state. He gets the split decision win. I didn't think he really did a whole lot in that fight. He got hurt a couple times. Mm-hmm. I think Parsons could have won that fight. Should have won that fight, but it is what it is. So Giles has won some, you know, questionable decisions. He's had some good wins. He's had some bad losses. I think in this fight, Bonfim is too explosive. He's too well-rounded. He's extremely dangerous. I guess the biggest issue would be him gassing out because he does have a lot of early finishes, but I can also see him finishing Giles early. So Bonfim's a big favorite here. I do like him to win the fight. I think he's a better fighter than Giles. It does scare me a little bit. I kind of want to see a little bit more from Bonfim. But overall, he is extremely dangerous. He's well-rounded. I think he can win this fight anywhere. And I do think he wins. I think he probably wins inside the distance if he does win. But I think he gets the job done. I'm a little skeptical. It is kind of a big price tag. But I have to roll with Bonfim in this one. All right, so we move on to the main event. The first fight on the main card is Kevin Holland taking on Michael Chiesa. I went back and forth on this fight. We know Holland has had issues with wrestlers in the past. But when you look at those wrestlers, you know, you're looking at Marvin Vettori, Derek Brunson, Khamzat Chimaev. These guys are big guys and very, very strong wrestlers. Holland was definitely outweighed, you know, by a significant amount in the Vettori fight and the Brunson fight. That was up at middleweight. He basically walked around at 183, 184, never cut weight to make the weight class. And those guys obviously did, coming down from, you know, probably 205, 210, whatever. And then, you know, Khamzat is Khamzat. Khamzat's an extremely dangerous wrestler. And he just went, honestly, watching that fight. And the reason why I kind of like Holland here is because of that Khamzat fight. Because that first 2 minute exchange where Khamzat was shooting for takedowns like crazy. And Kevin Holland was doing a solid job trying to fight for underhooks, trying to fight for wizards. You know, he went for a couple wizard throws. Was obviously, Khamzat's just a way better wrestler, so it didn't work out. He was rolling well. Khamzat was chasing him around the mat. A lot of very good scrambling in there that makes me think, well, if Chiesa tries to wrestle like that and he scrambles that well, I think it's going to be a problem because Chiesa's not... I don't think Chiesa's as strong a wrestler as a guy like Khamzat. I don't think he has the tenacity that Khamzat does. And honestly, being on Khamzat in that fight, I was getting nervous because he was exerting a lot of energy. We saw him get tired in that Gilbert Burns fight. So I was nervous that he was going to kill a parlay for me. He was going to kill my DraftKings. Because if Holland was able to survive, he didn't get caught with that Darce. I don't know. It would have been interesting to see how that fight played out. I wish it kind of went a little longer now because I kind of want to see what Khamzat looked like after. He was breathing heavy. All that being said, I feel like we have kind of a similar matchup here. Chiesa can win the wrestling battles. Chiesa does train at high elevation, so I'm not really concerned about his cardio. So that scares me. But he's coming off a back injury. He's been off for quite some time. And you never really know how that's going to hold up. You never really know if he's fully healthy. He looks fully healthy, that's for sure. So, you know, but all said, you know, all said and done, I think the striking advantage obviously goes to Holland if they're on their feet. Even in those fights where Holland was getting dominated, by Brunson and by Vettori, he was still landing big shots on the feet whenever he had his opportunity. He just wasn't able to keep it there very long. I think he makes this fight very ugly. I think his striking makes an impact on the judges because he will land some big shots. And it's not out of the question for Chiesa to get submitted. We've seen him submitted 4 times in his career. Kevin Holland is dangerous. He does have good jiu-jitsu. We've seen him win by submission in the UFC. So there's a lot of danger here. Kevin Holland is dangerous on the ground. And I think his scrambling ability will show up in this fight. This is going to be really the fight that tells us how much his wrestling has evolved to the point where can he deal with guys who want to wrestle him but maybe aren't the elite of the elite and maybe aren't the strongest, you know, the bigger, stronger guy. So this will be a really good test. I think Holland gets the job done. I was tempted to go with the plus money with Chiesa. I don't, you know, obviously, if you want to go that route, you know, DraftKings-wise, he's probably a live play if he's able to land some takedowns. So it's going to be a fun fight. It's going to be close. But I do think Holland gets the job done. I think the striking is going to be huge. And his scrambling ability, I think, will be good enough to get the job done. Our next fight is in the lightweight division. We have Tony Ferguson taking on Bobby Green. Bobby Green's a huge favorite here. A lot of people are hesitant to bet Bobby Green as a big favorite. And, you know, I could see why. There's been fights where he does kind of let things be closer than what you would like. But, you know, he's fought some really tough guys. He's fought very well against some really good high-level opponents. And he's, right now, just head and shoulders above Tony Ferguson in my eyes. I went back and watched the Ferguson versus Nate Diaz fight, and I, for some reason in my head, I thought Ferguson was winning that fight because I had a big bet on Nate Diaz as the underdog, and maybe I was just, you know, thinking negatively. Or maybe I was just listening to Joe Rogan just go crazy over every time he landed a leg kick. But re-watching that fight, I realized how bad Tony actually did look. He's almost been relegated to leg kicks at this point. His strikes do not come fast. He gets hit and kind of shies away a lot. Anytime Nate put any kind of pressure on him with strikes, he kind of shied away and you know, kind of tried to run out of there or shelled up against the cage. Just did not look good at all. And I didn't think Nate Diaz even looked that great in that fight, but he, I don't know, man. It looked like Nate was going to get him out of there with strikes. Tony looked absolutely terrible in that fight. And when you really go back and look at Tony's career, the guy's a career survivor. He's never really been, you know, he's never really put a clinic on anybody. He's always been a guy that takes a lot of damage. You know, he's seen him get taken down and controlled on the ground, first round, second round. Seen him get pieced up by really good strikers. And he was always good enough. His skills were always at a high enough level where he could take advantage of his durability. And as guys got tired, despite the fact that he had gotten the shit kicked out of him, he was the guy with the better cardio. He was still dangerous. He was still fast. And he was able to get the job done. That's gone. That we haven't seen that version of Tony Ferguson in 3-4 years now. The Justin Gaethje fight was the first fight where you started to see the decline, took a lot of damage in that fight. Then, you know, he fought valiantly against Charles Oliveira because he's able to survive on the ground. It was a completely one-sided fight, but he's able to go 3 rounds. Same thing with Dariush. Dariush basically blew out his knee. I'm pretty sure he blew out his knee. And, you know, Tony just didn't tap. But again, he got absolutely 3 rounds, just absolutely dominated. And then we saw some explosiveness against Michael Chandler. He looked good early. Then Chandler took him down, kind of put a beating on him in the end of the first round. Second round, we all remember, nasty front kick to the face. That front kick alone is that takes a couple years off of your fighting career. And then, you know, we see him in there with Nate Diaz, and he just looks like, he just looks slow. He looks old. He doesn't have the same dynamic movement. I just think Tony's completely done. And the only way this fight's competitive is if Bobby Green goes in there and just plays around and does the, oh, look at, you can't hit me, you can't hit me. And then, you know, Tony lands some shots and then Bobby lands, like, it's just one of those back and forths where Bobby's not putting the pressure on. But, I mean, in all reality, Bobby Green is just head and shoulders better. His volume's going to be better. His boxing's crisp. He can wrestle if he chose to, if he wanted to. I don't know if I would. That's kind of taking a risk that you don't really need to take, because Tony could throw up a triangle or something like that. But I don't know. I just think if Bobby Green comes in and just decides, I want to outbox you, he should by a mile. So I like Bobby Green. I think Bobby Green wins this fight inside the distance. I think he gets I think he gets Tony out of there late second, maybe third round. But I think he just puts on a clinic, kind of like what we saw him do to the real estate guy. I can't think of his name right now. Ally Quinta. He just came out and just put it on him. And I think he could do the same thing to Tony. And I think Tony's done. This is probably the last time we see him fight. It really has BJ Penn vibes to me, where we all love Tony. We all, you know, we've seen him at the highest of highs, and we've seen him in some amazing fights. And you want to see a guy like that succeed, but you know in your heart he just doesn't have it anymore. And if this goes the way I think it's going to go, I kind of hope this is the last time we see him, because it's just, you just don't like to see guys just continuously take damage, and then, you know, who knows how the rest of it goes. So, I like Bobby Green. I think Tony smoked, and I think Bobby gets it done inside the distance. Our next fight is potentially in jeopardy. We'll see. By the time I get done recording this, we may have a decision on whether this fight's happening or not. But we have Michelle Pereira taking on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. I think Wonderboy picks him apart. This is at elevation. The cardio has never really been a friend of Pereira, and Stephen Thompson is a very dynamic, rangy striker. There is that thought, potentially, Pereira wants to wrestle and take Wonderboy down, which he will be able to do, because Wonderboy is not a great wrestler. But I think even if he does that in the first round, he's not going to have the cardio to go to do that for three full rounds. He's not Gilbert Burns. He's not Bilal Muhammad. Wonderboy will fight to get up, and he will tire out Pereira, who's, you know, missed weight by 3 pounds, high elevation, not known for cardio. I don't think, you know, pushing a wrestling pace is going to be the path for him. And I think Wonderboy dominates this fight, honestly. It's on the feet, he's just too fast. Obviously, he could be caught. Pereira is very, very dangerous, but we haven't really seen a ton of power out of him in quite a few of his fights. And most of the fights that he's in against kind of lower level guys, he hasn't looked, you know, the fights are close. They go back and forth. And he's able to get the job done, but I don't think he's able to do that against Wonderboy. His striking is not going to be good enough. And even if he tries to wrestle, he gasses out and Wonderboy gets the job done. I think he puts on a clinic, honestly. Wonderboy's volume is very good. We've seen him put clinics on some really high-level guys on the feet, and this would be one of the lower-level strikers that we've seen Wonderboy fight recently. And Opahead is dangerous. He's good. He's strong. He's huge. But technical, not so much. And Wonderboy feasts on those kind of guys. So I think Wonderboy wins it. Wouldn't be shocked if he finished him, but I'm not going to go there, I don't think. I think Wonderboy just gets the job done, just wears on the gas tank, and just pieces him up. Probably lands 140, 150 strikes. And just kind of puts on a show. That brings us to our co-main event. We have Alex Pereira taking on Jan Błachowicz. This is an interesting fight. Obviously, Pereira has that knockout power. He's extremely dangerous. He's moving up to 205, so he's not going to be cutting weight. But his wrestling is so bad. And Jan, not that Jan wrestles all the time, but we saw against Izzy, it was on the feet, he was having trouble with Adesanya. And he decided, well, I don't really want to take risk of losing a kickboxing match, and took him to the ground for the last three rounds of the fight and was able to win that decision. This is the same thing here. You have high risk with Pajeda. We saw Izzy out-wrestle him already, which is not good. And Jan Błachowicz is way stronger. He's a much better grappler. And there's a clear path here. I don't care how big Pajeda looks. I don't even think he looks all that big. I think he looks like the same guy that he looked at 185 when he was in the cage. He'd been, you know, fully hydrated at 185. He's probably walking around at 210, 215. He was cutting a ton of weight to get down there. So probably similar here. Maybe walking around at 220, 225. But I don't even know if he is doing that. Like, why force yourself to have another massive weight cut to get down to 205? I would assume he's probably cutting 10, 12 pounds, just walking around at his natural weight. And, you know, he's just a normal size light heavyweight. So the danger, obviously, is on the feet. Pajeda can land a big one, but he also leaves himself exposed often. I mean, we saw Adesanya had him nearly out in the first MMA match that they fought. He had him nearly out in the second kickboxing fight that they had. The refs jumped in, really, for a standing eight count that seemed like, you know, almost like the ref was saving him, because there was no reason for the ref to even jump in at that point. So that was weird to me. But then again, you know, we see in the third, or in the second MMA fight against Adesanya, Adesanya knocks him out, and he knocks him out cold this time. So it's not like Pajeda can't be knocked out. We've seen him on skates multiple times, and Jan can crack too. So he does have the ability to land big on the feet. He has a clear path on the ground. There's no, I don't think the grappling for Pajeda can just suddenly be even twice as good as it was, which would still not be, you know, enough to stop a guy like Jan. So I think Błachowicz wins this fight. I think he wins it in dramatic fashion. I think it just doesn't even seem close to me. It really would be a matter of him getting clipped, and it would have to be pretty early, I think, because otherwise he's just going to wrestle, and, you know, just rack up the rounds. So I like Jan. I think he probably can get Pajeda out of there, but I mean, just a straight wager, you're at like minus 110 on the betting line for both guys, even fight. I think Błachowicz is the side, just clear path to wrestling. And until I see otherwise, that's the way that I'm going in any Pajeda fight. That brings us to our main event for the BMF title. We have Justin Gaethje taking on Dustin Poirier. These two fought five years ago. Amazing fight back then. Looked like Gaethje was on his way to win. It was back and forth, but Gaethje was landing ridiculous leg kicks that were definitely affecting Poirier. But Poirier did what Poirier does, and he survived, and he landed a big one on Gaethje, got him out of there in the fourth round. And I don't have a strong side in this fight. I initially thought I liked Poirier, but something just keeps bringing me back to Gaethje. I think Gaethje's fighting he's a much cleaner fighter than we saw 5 years ago. And while Dustin has improved as well, he was always a clean boxer. He was always gritty and durable. And, you know, he's kind of the same guy. He's extremely durable. He's crisp. His boxing is very good. He parries punches very well. So even when a guy has a flurry on him, he's dodging most of those punches. But I think it's an extremely close fight. I think I just think Gaethje can get the job done here. I really like the way he finished up that third round of his last fight. He looked like, it looked like he just started, like he was at the point where it's like, okay, now I'm going to fight and dominate and I can go another five rounds. He looked, his cardio looked amazing. He even landed a takedown in that third round of his last fight, which would be awesome to see him mix in takedowns in this fight. We saw Chandler get Poirier down with wrestling. You know, it's definitely something that an advantage that Gaethje has. It's not something that he goes to very often, but being an older, smarter fighter, maybe to try to steal some rounds. He wrestles a little bit. Who knows? Obviously, Poirier is dangerous on the ground. He does have submission skills. But I think the fight's very close. I think it's back and forth. Both have power. I think Gaethje has the slightly better power, the more natural power, but Poirier does get knockouts by landing frequently and then landing the big shot. So he does have knockout capabilities. But I don't know. I feel like Gaethje gets the job done. I like the over 2.5 in this fight. If you don't want to pick a side and you just want to bet the rounds, over 2.5 is, I believe it was -140 when I bet it, and I absolutely love that. I think this fight goes into the fourth and fifth round. It could potentially go to a decision. I would not be surprised if it went to a decision. Both guys are extremely durable, so I do think this fight goes long. DraftKings-wise, this is, you know, you're stacking this fight if you're playing cash. Both guys could land well over 100 strikes. You may get a knockdown or two. You could get some wrestling exchanges, depending on how these guys want to fight. But, you know, and it's very close. It's extremely close. And one of the most fun matchups. If you're going to put a BMF title on the line, this is definitely a fight to do it. So I do love that. I love the idea of the BMF title. I think it's fun. It's not, you know, nothing to be taken too seriously, but it's just a fun little, it's almost like just a trophy, whatever. But I like it. I think it's cool. I think it's fun. And my official pick is going to be Gaethje going with the dog. I could say, you know, throw in the Gaethje over 1.5 just to get better odds. You're probably getting closer to +200 in that range. I definitely think it goes over 1.5. So you could go that way. You could do the same thing with Poirier too. If you like Poirier, you think he's going to win, you know, bet the over 1.5, get him at plus money. So there's definitely ways to bet this fight. A lot of ways to bet this fight. It's a fun fight. It's going to be awesome. And I'm looking forward to it. So that's it. 12 fights broken down. As always, you can find my bet card at my Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TommyZ_MMA on everything. I will update if this fight does get canceled. I'll be posting about that. If the Wonder Boy fight gets canceled, that is. Hopefully the main event doesn't get canceled. But if that Wonder Boy fight gets canceled, I'll be posting about that. If anything, you know, strikes and I change my mind on anything, I'll be posting. But mostly you can look forward to my betting cards and kind of where I'm going in the rest of the night. You can watch the KegCast. Actually, you should watch the KegCast. Basically, it's a group of guys, you know, Keg himself is a professional bettor. That's what he does for a living. That's his only job. And, you know, we watch the fights. We break them down. We tell you where we're going with our money. Very smart guys in there. It's a fun watch. If you get annoyed with UFC commentary and you want something else to listen to, you know, we're a little change of pace. So it's fun. We have fun in there. We post live. You know, we put live plays out there, in-fight bets, all that stuff. You're really smart minds. And, you know, even if you're new to betting or if you're bad at betting, you watch that and you can learn some things about how a professional does it. And that's, to me, I've learned a lot in the past few months going on that show. And I really like it. It's a fun way to watch fights. And I get a lot out of it. So check that out. Search the Sports Keg on YouTube. KegCast, all one word. It should pop up. I will have a link in when I post my picks. So it's relatively easy to find. Definitely worth a watch. And he does it for NASCAR. Same channel. They have a baseball show on Tuesday nights. I've been following that. Absolutely love the baseball show. They've gone 11-3, I think, the past two baseball slates on Tuesday nights. So a lot of money to be made there. But that's it. Check all that stuff out. Find me at TommyZ_MMA on all the social medias. I'll have everything updated. And I'm looking forward to a fun card. And as always, good luck on Saturday.